blocking the attacker's advantage. In every warfare, until you are the offensive, until you are on the offensive, you cannot become a victor. In warfare, those who retreat and defend don't win battles of life. It is only those who are ready to advance that can put the enemy under check. An army that must win in warfare has to be on the offensive. Satan is the one behind every killing, stealing, and destruction. But the devil strives on subtlety. He's not powerful, but he's very subtle. He's very crafty. He's the arch enemy of the believer. He capitalizes on the ignorance of the believer. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, be sober, be vigilant. The adversary, your devil, the devil, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He said, let Satan take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He said, give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. He's very subtle. He's a trickster. He said, that old serpent, we deceived the whole world. So he has been a master deceiver. His major weapon is deception. He has no power, but he's very deceptive. But hear this and hear me very well. One day came to Jesus and looked at Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God. There's no question about it. Jesus knew he's the Son of God. So he said, you're stupid. What are you asking me if I be the Son of God? I'm already the Son of God. So, but I turned this stone to bread. You know why he did that to Jesus? Because he knew Jesus was hungry. He was fasting. So he uses your weakness to attack you. He knew Jesus was hungry. So he said, if you are truly the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. And Jesus didn't say, he said to him, look, for it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. So when you give the devil the written word, you cannot be written off. You don't converse with the devil. You don't chat with the devil. You give him back the word of God. Jesus said, it is written. And the Bible says, and Satan lived him for a while. That means he will still come back. Hello. He came the second time. He said, it is written. Never try to deal with the devil outside the word of God. It is understanding of God's word that permanently put the devil under check. While we're on the offensive, you may wonder, there are people who can't even stay in certain places. I hope you know that. Because Satan has made the place uncomfortable for some people. But it's our duty to check him out. He said, that old serpent, so he's already old. He said, cast him out. He will leave you forever. Amen. But Satan takes advantage of people's ignorance. Areas through which Satan and his cohorts gain advantage over the believer that is ignorant. I'll give you four areas. What Satan does, he looks at you and looks at the ignorance and he will capitalize. Now, let me give you another solution. See what Satan does. He's a trick master. For instance, let me give you a physical example. If I'm standing like this now, assume you're standing like this, and there's a water before you. What Satan does, he will look at you. The moment you turn your face, at your back, he will throw an object into the water. And as well, chop. The first thing that will occur to you in that river is what? Fish. Two of us. Huh? Over your head, he will throw an object. He will not throw it while you're looking. The moment he turn your face, he will throw. You know that the first thing that will occur to you will be a fish that jumped out of the water, but it's a stone. That's how he behaves. Every time you are not concentrated on the word of God, he deceives you with something.
And then
you will be looking at the wrong direction while there's one behind it.
Do you understand what I'm saying now?
So until you arrest him, you can't take charge. Because his ministry is to kill, to steal, and to destroy.
But say to him, no more. Say to him, no more. Say it one more time, no more.
So areas through which Satan and his cause gain advantage over ignorant believers, number one, tragic and dangerous expectations. One way through which he gains tragic and what? Satan gains advantage over believers through evil expectations. In Proverbs 24 verse 14, he said, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Because it is what you expect, you experience, whether good or bad. Your expectation sets the pace for salvation or destruction, for promotion or demotion. It is what you expect Satan will use against you. Now hear this and hear me well. That's what the Bible says, casting down every evil imagination, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? It's a casting down. What does God say to you? Anything that is contrary to the word of God, don't imagine it, don't expect it. But unknowingly, people expect evil, I'll tell you. Unknowingly, people do what? A man, husband and wife, we are married. And this husband and wife living together. For 30 years, the wife would wake the husband and say, my husband, please, I want you to go at 12 midnight. I'm suspecting that there's an armed robber around. Go and check. So this man will wake up. And they were living in a fenced environment with modern security gadgets. But every 2 o'clock, she would tap him. So I suspect there's a burglar right here. Armed robber, go. So the man will go and check and come back. He did that for 30 years. Then one day, it's an hen-pecked husband. Hen-pecked is a man who is controlled by a woman. In modern language, zombie man. He has no say of his. Whatever the wife tells him, good or bad, he does. They are men like that. Anything their wife tells them. They don't use their senses. So my wife says so. Adam was like that. Adam, the wife said, go and eat. He just went, without asking question, ate. Abraham told the wife, no, we'll go to. And that's why God didn't say, follow Adam, he said, follow Abraham. Sarah followed Abraham, Adam followed Eve. And they are men like that. Anything their wife tells them, they will use their senses, whether correct or bad. So this man was like that. So one day, as he went to check, somebody pointed gun and knife on his head. And said, give all your valuables now to me. He looked at the man. He said, don't kill me. Carried all his valuables and gave to him. Happens to be a robber. And as the man took to his heels, he said, excuse me, come back. The man wondered why he called him back. He came back. He said, anything more? He said, yes. I have a friend upstairs who has been expecting you for 30 years. So he went up and met the wife who has been expecting the man for 30 years. And also collected her valuables. Many of us have been imagining all sorts of evil. We begin to imagine things that are not in the Bible. I've seen people just imagine that they will have loss of property. Some even imagine that their spouse will go and misbehave. They just like they say, it's like my husband also follow a woman. How can somebody sit down and imagine such rubbish? Some even imagine that when their children go to school, they won't come back. They begin to pray over nothing. Some, through negative imagination, even dream that somebody around them died. So imagine divorce when they have not married. I've seen people imagine barrenness before they married. A woman who's not married, coming for fruitfulness, is already imagining that she'll be barren. That's a negative imagination. She's not married, but she's coming for fruitfulness prayer. You see, I already, our imagination is that, are you sure I'll be pregnant when I marry? And the expectation of the righteous, he didn't say expectation whether good or bad, open check, good or bad, shall be granted. May no evil imagination stand on your mind anymore. Some even imagine marital crisis. Some even imagine failure and poverty. There are people who imagine poverty. From the way they talk, you know that they're already expecting poverty. That the country is so hard, are you sure we'll survive? The way things are tough, are you sure we will survive? That is a negative imagination. And Satan will capitalize on any negative imagination. Imagination is image formation. Image you have formed in your mind, contrary to the word of God, Satan will use it against you. If you imagine any evil, it will come to pass. Some of you say, I dreamt, I saw the person died, and he died. It's what you imagined. And Satan shows you a negative picture. And you believe what he showed to you. Satan now uses it against you. He will never use any evil against you. So, expect only good things. Expect to see yourself alive. Expect to see yourself using a good car. Expect to see yourself fruitful. Expect the things in line with the word of God. Because only the expectation of the righteous shall be granted. Don't expect anything contrary to the word of God. Say here. Number two. Another area Satan uses against ignorant believers is lack of knowledge of their new position in Christ. Lack of what? Of their new position in Christ. When you are born again, hear this. In Colossians 1:13, he said, who had translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Is that clear, sir? Colossians 1:13. And when you gave your life to Jesus in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, reading down to verse 6, Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. Now, if you look at Ephesians 2, 4 to 6, you will find out that, let me show you something. Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. It says, but God was rich in mercy. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. Let's read 6 together if we are together. And had raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. This is what happens. This is what happens. Look at what happens. Don't close it. I'll read chapter 1, verse 19. Now, can you come up, young man? You? Yes. Now, look at me. Look at me. Up this way. Stand where you are. Now, this was where you were when you were not born again. You were in the earthly places. You were where? Where Satan dwells. Then one day you came up and said, Jesus, accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. The day you gave your life, Jesus happened to be where I am. For instance, now in the heavenly places, he now did like this. He said he raised you up and made you sit together in him in heavenly places. So he stretched his hand towards you and took you from where you are to where he is now. So two of you are together in the same place. You can say that. I say we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, that heavenly places, stand and face them, stand with me. He said, it's far above. You come up. Just come up, any of you. Stand here. Stand, face me. Stand here, try to catch this man from that distance. Can you catch him? No, you can't catch him. Try to stretch your hands and catch him. Is that possible? Now, God is saying simple. It's not Satan, it can never be Satan. No. God will bless him. Now he's saying, Satan is on the earthly places. Every time he tries to stretch his hand to attack you, because you are with Christ in heavenly places, you are far above him, principalities and powers. So this man cannot touch this man because you are not operating at the same level. Are you getting what God is saying? He said, how? By simple faith. that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. To know what God has done for you in salvation. God bless you. Go back. I am going to say. So you are not at the level where you used to be before. Someone said, but if I'm in heavenly place, why am I seated in Port Harcourt? Amen. Yeah, I mean, it's by faith. Heavenly is by what? Faith. You became born again by what? Faith. You are saved by faith. You didn't see blood. That's why you become a citizen of heaven by faith. And the word of God. Believe it, nothing. No specialty. Just believe it and act like that. Satan will see you no more. If not, the dreams you used to have, you won't have them. As simple as that, you won't see dreams again. All those nonsense dreams of jumping from one tree to another. You glory to God. Now, where are you now? Where are you? Far above. And Satan was driven out of where? Is Satan a citizen of heaven? No. Can the laws of America have effect in Nigeria? No. Why? They are two different nations. Am I talking? Can the American police, because they are the police of America, arrest somebody in Port Harcourt? No. Can the police of Nigeria arrest somebody in Ghana? Now, Satan belongs to a different kingdom. You belong to a different kingdom. So he cannot have power over you. You say, okay, how is he attacking people? Ignorance. How? Ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of. Another way Satan uses to attack believer, takes advantage over the ignorant believer, is through insensitivity. Through what? To divine signal. Insensitivity to divine signal. He said, be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, very specific, is walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He said, be vigilant, be sensitive. They call people who watch over the night vigilante. They say they are vigilant group. That means they are people who will not sleep but watch to make sure evil does not come. So he said, be vigilant means, my friend, make sure you don't allow him come through your sensitivity. Am I communicating with you? You can forestall or escape any work of the devil through divine signal. Through divine what? One day they came to attack the man, Elisha. And God showed him that they were coming to attack him. He knew that they were coming through divine signal. He said, Lord, cause this man to be blind. The servant was afraid. He said, my friend, Lord, open his eyes that he may see that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Many are falling prey to the devil through insensitivity. You cannot have the Holy Spirit in you and not hear when he speaks. You've heard people say testimony before that I was standing at the place and God said to me, move away from there. And as I shifted, all of a sudden, a car came there and crashed. Every time the Holy Ghost gives you a signal, be very sensitive. As anointed as Paul in Acts chapter 20, 22 to 23, Acts 21, 4, 10 to 13. Paul, the Holy Ghost said to him, don't go to Jerusalem. Paul was sensitive. He never came back alive. Hello. When you play with divine signal, you may head for devastation. That will not be your portion. Most strategy is because of insensitivity. If not, watch every time there's evil, you find that God spoke to you. But you were just saying, I beg. Even though you see a voice, will tell you, move, clear, do this, move away from here, clear from here. May you never be deaf anymore. Yeah. Every form of spiritual deafness, I come against that deafness in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Put your hands by your ears. I'm talking about spiritual ears. Put your hands up from today. Lord, cause my ears to be sensitive. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you clearly. In the name of Jesus. Number four, keeping the accosting and consulting mediums. Another way Satan can have access to you is to keep what? The accosting. Accost. A-C-C-U-R-S-E-D. Just put A-C. Party. Cost. D. Accosting. And consulting what? Mediums. Yeah, this I said, if you give Satan a room, he will take your compound. If you give Satan, if you invite him for dinner, he will carry his pajamas and come. Every step you give to Satan, he will go extra mile. There's usually a counter reaction when you are fighting against the devil or any of his agents and you are still in his camp. If you are fighting the devil and you are in his camp, it will amount to betrayal and sabotage. Because he said, no kingdom divided against itself can stand. You cannot be in the camp of the devil and say you want to fight the devil. It's dangerous. It can bring about untimely death. You don't fraternize with the devil and still come to attack him. If you don't want to suffer tragedy, avoid anything that has to do with the devil. The sons of Sceva in Acts 19, 14 to 16, thought they could attack the devil. The devil went back to attack them. Saul, King Saul, his life came to an untimely end the moment he consulted the witch of Endor. In 1 Samuel 28, 7 to 19, 14 to 19, precisely, you see where Saul died because of the witch he consulted. You become vulnerable to satanic attacks when you mix God and elemental spirits. When you do what? If you are attacking the devil, never practice witchcraft. Never be a part of wizardry. Otherwise, Satan will kill you hands down. Don't carry some charm on your waist and some in your pocket and say, Satan, I bind you. He will kill you. Don't read occultic books and try to be in his camp. He will attack you. Don't patronize satanic tribal medical practitioners, what you call herbalists. Stop practicing cultism. Don't carry talisman. Don't put small powder on your tongue. Remember Achan in Joshua chapter 7, carry the accosting and it killed him. You won't die. Say amen to that. Amen. And in case you are sick, God is not against you going to hospital. But God is against you consulting diviners. God allows you to go to hospital, but he hates where you will bow to other gods. God is a jealous God. A king went to consult in 2 Kings chapter 1. He never came back alive. God said because he did that, he will die. He will do what? 2 Kings chapter 1, 16 and 17. God is saying to you, stop that rubbish. Tell them, stop that rubbish. If you are the type that go to consult other gods, stop it. Say to your neighbor, stop it. In 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 16, look at it. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down of thy bed on which thou had gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And in verse 17, you see, he died. Every idol worshiper is dull. Throw it away. What are you doing with that charm on your waist? That God cannot protect you? It will fail if you trust on it. He says, some trust in chariots and some in horses. He said, they are brought down and fall. I have seen men who believe that they can never be killed by a bullet, and it's only one bullet that killed them.
Satan, wherever you are positioning yourself to attack me and my family, it is written, they overcame you by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. Everywhere you want to stand against my life and destiny, I come against you by the blood of Jesus. I cast you out of my way. I come against you, use the blood as an arrow. It shall go for as a lightning, as a thunder. So in the spirit, they go, ooh! That's Zechariah chapter 9. It shall go forth as a lightning, like a thunder. So when you say the blood of Jesus, you go like, ooh! Are you ready? That's for your own self now. Lift your voice and pray for yourself in the name of Jesus. I pray in the name of Jesus. Everyone connected to salvation ministries, Satan, wherever you want to attack my life, my wife, and all that concerns us, we come against you, Satan, by the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Cast you out. Bind your works. Are you agents? In the name of Jesus. It is written, after David was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward. That oil ceases to be a chemical product in your hand. The Holy Ghost used as a medium and becomes holy anointing oil in the name of Jesus. He said, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the living God shall lift up a standard against him. Every work of the devil against you, the Holy Ghost will lift up a standard against the works of the devil. In the name of Jesus Christ. In 2 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 7. It said the destruction of Ahaziah was of God. It said, and the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. For when he was come, he went out to Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. That is a house of wickedness. After this anointing, every wickedness around you shall be destroyed. When you say to anyone you are dead, hear me, he will be dead. When you look at a witch and say you will not see tomorrow, that is how God will confirm it. Your words will become authority in the name of Jesus. There's no wicked person that you sentence that will be alive. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible declares, as they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, he allowed no man to do them wrong. Yet he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointing and do my prophets. After this anointing, you are touched not to militants. You are touched not to assassins. You are touched not to robbers. You are touched not to witches and wizards. Whatever is evil will not see you in the name of Jesus. You are touched not to dead. Sickness will not touch you. Evil will not touch you. In the name of Jesus. Even poverty will be far from you. In the name of Jesus. All arrows of the wicked will not see you. As you travel in the airland and see no evil shall see us. The aircraft we enter shall arrive safely. The car we enter shall go safely. The boat we onboard shall arrive safely. In the name of Jesus. He said, because I bear upon me the mark of the Lord, let no man trouble me. From today, no devil trouble us. When we are driving on any path, evil will clear for us. If I'm robbers and we are coming thousands of meters, they will clear for us. In the name of Jesus. This same prayer covers my children, covers anyone, that my joy is their joy, their full beneficiaries. of what has happened now. In Jesus' name. Now you prophesy. Speak over your life in the name of, I put a seal upon me, upon David, upon my wife, upon all that concerns. Limbro zikatal. But hear this and hear me very well. One day came to Jesus and looked at Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God. There's no question about it. Jesus knew he's the Son of God. They say, you're stupid. What are you asking me if I be the Son of God? I'm already the Son of God. So, but I turned this stone to bread. You know why he did that to Jesus? Because he knew Jesus was hungry. He was fasting. So he uses your weakness to attack you. He knew Jesus was hungry. So he said, if you are truly the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. And Jesus didn't say, he said to him, look, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. So when you give the devil the written word, you cannot be written off. You don't converse with the devil. You don't chat with the devil. You give him back the word of God. Jesus said, it is written. And the Bible says, and Satan lived him for a while. That means he will still come back. Hello. He came the second time. He said, it is written. Never try to deal with the devil outside the word. It is understanding of God's word that permanently put the devil under check. While we're on the offensive, you may wonder, there are people who can't even stay in certain places. I hope you know that. Because Satan has made the place uncomfortable for some people. But it's our duty to check him out. He said, that old serpent, so he's already old. He said, cast him. He will leave you forever. Question: it is what you expect Satan will use against you. Now hear this and hear me well. That's what the Bible says, casting down every evil imagination, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? It's a casting down. What is God saying to you? Anything that is contrary to the word of God, don't imagine it, don't expect it. But unknowingly, people expect evil, I'll tell you. Unknowingly, people do what? A man, husband and wife, we are married. And this husband and wife living together. For 30 years, the wife will wake the husband and say, my husband, please, I want you to go at 12 midnight. I'm suspecting that there's an armed robber around. Go and check. So this man will wake up. And they were living in a fenced environment with modern security gadgets. But every 2 o'clock, she would tap him. So I suspect there's a burglar right here. Armed robber, go. So the man will go and check and come back. He did that for 30 years. Then one day, it's an hen-pecked husband. Hen-pecked is a man who is controlled by a woman. In modern language, zombie man. He has no self. He's whatever the wife tells him, good or bad, he does. There are men like that. Anything their wife tells them. They don't use their senses. So my wife says so. Adam was like that. Adam, the wife said, go and eat. He just went, without asking question, ate. Abraham told the wife, no, we'll go to. And that's why God didn't say, follow Adam, he said, follow Abraham. But Satan takes advantage of people's ignorance. Areas through which Satan and his cohorts gain advantage over the believer that is ignorant. I'll give you 4 areas. What Satan does, he looks at you and looks at the ignorance and he will capitalize. Now, let me give an illustration. See what Satan does. He's a trick master. For instance, let me give you a physical example. If I'm standing like this now, assume you're standing like this, and there's a water before you. What Satan does, he will look at you. The moment you turn your face, at your back, he will throw an object into the water. And as chop, the first thing that will occur to you in that river is what? Fish. 2 of us. Eh?
Over your head, he will throw an object. He will not throw it while you're looking. The moment he turns your face, he will throw. You know that the first thing that will occur to you will be a fish that jumped out of the water, but it's a stone. That's how he behaves. Every time you are not concentrating on the word of God, he deceives you with something. And then you will be looking at the wrong direction while he's the one behind it. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So until you arrest him, you can't take charge. Because his mission is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But say to him, no more.
No more.
Say to him, no more.
No more.
Say it one more time, no more.
No more.
So areas through which Satan and his cause gain advantage over ignorant believers, number one. Tragic and dangerous expectations. One way through which he gains tragic and what? Satan gains advantage over believers through evil expectations. In Proverbs 24 verse 14, he said, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Because it is what you expect, you experience, whether good or bad. Your expectation sets the pace for salvation or destruction, for promotion or demotion. Blocking the attacker's advantage. In every warfare, until you are the offensive, until you are on the offensive, you cannot become a victor. In warfare, those who retreat and defend don't win battles of life. It is only those who are ready to advance that can put the enemy under check. An army that must win in warfare has to be on the offensive. Satan is the one behind every killing, stealing, and destruction. But the devil strives on subtlety. He's not powerful, but he's very subtle. He's very crafty. Is the arch enemy of the believer. He capitalizes on the ignorance of the believer. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, be sober, be vigilant. The adversary, your devil, the devil, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He said, let Satan take advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices. He said, give no place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. He's very subtle. He's a trickster. He said, that old serpent, we deceived the whole world. So he has been a master deceiver. His major weapon is deception. He has no power, but he's very deceptive. Sarah followed Abraham. Adam followed Eve. And they are men like that. Anything their wife tell them, they will use their senses, whether correct or bad. So this man was like that. So one day, as he went to check, somebody pointed gun and knife on his head and said, give all your valuables now to me. He looked at the man. He said, don't kill me. Carried all his valuables and gave to him. Happens to be a robber. And as the man took to his heels, he said, excuse me, come back. The man wondered why he called him back. He came back. He said, anything more? He said, yes. I have a friend upstairs who has been expecting you for 30 years. So he went up and met the wife who has been expecting the man for 30 years. And also collected her valuables. Many of us have been imagining all sorts of evil. We begin to imagine things that are not in the Bible. I've seen people who imagine that they will have loss of property. Some even imagine that their spouse will go and misbehave. They just like they say, it's like my husband also follow a woman. How can somebody sit down and imagine such rubbish? Some even imagine that when their children go to school, they won't come back. They begin to pray over nothing. Some, through negative imagination, even dream that someone around them died. So imagine divorce when they have not married. I I've seen people imagine barrenness before they married. A woman who's not married, coming for fruitfulness, is already imagining that she'll be barren. That's a negative imagination. She's not married, but she's coming for fruitfulness prayer. You see, I already, our imagination is that, are you sure I'll be pregnant when I marry?